This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a series entitled God Encounters. God Encounters. I don't know about you, but I want and need a move of God in my life. I need an encounter with God. I need God to do some supernatural things in my life. I am believing for the exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Even though last year was a great year, I believe that this year is going to be an even greater year than last year. And so it is according to your faith, be it unto you. And so we're talking about God Encounters. We are on a 21-day fast. I hope you're doing good on your 21-day fast. And we have two fasts that we're doing simultaneously. The first one is no excessive spending, no addictive foods, and no news sources. And so the second one is also a 21-day financial fast. And so both of those are on our website. And so, hey, if you're just finding out about it, it's okay. You can jump in today. You got it? If you already got the chicken breaded, you can jump in tomorrow, all right? But either way, you can jump in. It's important that we fast. It's important that we push back the carnal man to let the spirit man become strong and really hear from God. Fasting is abstinence for divine purpose to see a move of God. It is disciplining the flesh so the believer can be more sensitive to the spirit of God and tap into the supernatural power and will of God. And so that is why we do what we do, and we see all types of fast. It was 3-day fast in the Bible, and 7-day fast in the Bible, and 21-day fast in the Bible, and 40-day fast in the Bible, and different types of fast. Daniel fasted just from certain things. When Jesus fasted, when Moses fasted, it was from nothing at all. And so the whole key is to make sure that I'm doing something. Like when we say no addictive foods, like if you know pizza is addicting, you can't be having pizza on a 21-day fast. Praise the Lord. And you came and said, oh, well, it's not really addicting. Oh, you got quiet. Praise the Lord. All right. So we want to have an encounter with God. We're not necessarily looking for a spooky experience or someone to feel sorry for us, but we are looking for a supernatural encounter where God moves in our lives and begins to change things for us. Amen. Today's subtopic. Last week, if you remember, we said no pain, no gain, right? This week, today's subtopic is get your questions answered. Get your questions answered. About who? About you. All right? And so we're going to talk about that. Too many times we can't have the relationship experience or encounter that we really want to have with God because we lack confidence about who we are in God. And sometimes we judge ourselves by mistakes that we made and even think we should be at a different place than we are right now. And so always or comparing ourselves to where somebody else is or you're looking on Instagram, not really understanding that that's not how that person is all the time. You just call them in that moment. You understand? And so you have to understand that we can't do that. And God doesn't judge that way anyways. God judges by the heart. And so God wants to do some amazing things in our lives, but it is only to the degree that we do it God's way. If we do it God's way, what's going to happen? We're going to get God results in our lives, right? 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, and at the 16th verse, going to read out of the Message translation or paraphrase. They call it paraphrase because they literally kind of paraphrase it. So whatever you did to take schooling away is perfect, but now I got the puh-puh. All right, and so what's the puh-puh? They know what the puh-puh is. All right, so whenever the Bible says, though they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and in today's time, another word, I'm not even going to say a better word or a different word to say besides veil, is removes the barrier, okay? God wants there to be no barrier between you and him. So removes the veil or the barrier, and they are face to face. They suddenly recognize that God, you got to catch this, is a living personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. You got it? He's a real God where you have a real relationship with him. All right? And when God is personally present, and I submit to you that he is, because he is Jehovah Shammah, the Lord that is ever present, he says, when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. He says, we're free of it, all of us. He says, nothing between us and God. Our face is shining with the brightness of his face. So the brightness, watch this, that someone should see on your life, watch this, is not necessarily your brightness, but it's his brightness on you because you got a relationship with him. Does that make sense? So that's why his joy becomes our joy, and his strength becomes our strength. Does that make sense? All right? His righteousness becomes our righteousness and therefore makes us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so he says, and so we are transfigured much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives as we become like him. And that's the goal, that we become like him, to the degree that we can become more and more like him. Life gets better and better. And so today we're going to talk about something that is extremely important, and that is your belief about yourself. Your belief about yourself. Most of us have an incorrect view of ourselves. All right? And you have to learn how to define yourself, or how to see yourself the way God sees you. Does that make sense? I think one of the first movies Disney made was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Anybody remember that? All right? And I don't know, that might be one where they've even recreated it, and the younger kids even know what that is. Do y'all remember the Wicked Queen had a mirror, and every day she had a saying? Y'all remember what the saying is? Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the? Okay, so y'all do know it, all right? Some of y'all telling your age, but y'all do know it. And so she had a false perception of beauty, all right? She was looking for a sense of validation, a sense of acceptance, by looking into this mirror. And unfortunately, many people deal with this. And the problem is, if you're going to look into the mirror, you got to look into the right mirror and not the wrong mirror. And in today's society, we keep looking into the wrong mirrors, all kinds of mirrors, looking into the mirror of failure or rejection. When you do that, you're saying, I am what I did. Not understanding that you can go through something and not be it. Is anybody in the house? Y'all seem a little quiet. Yeah. All right, just check your neighbor. Just make sure they're wide awake, and make sure some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right, yeah. All right, normally a lot of y'all say amen ain't saying amen. So either, and I ain't got to the good part yet. All right, so for instance, I thank God for things like, when you go to these recovery classes, I believe in all those kind of things and all that kind of stuff, and I get it. You could have recovered from alcohol 40 years, and when you show up to a class, they want you to say, that you're a recovering alcoholic, and I'm not knocking that, and I kind of understand that to a degree in the natural, but what I want you to understand from the word of God is when God sets you free, you are free. There is no more recovering. You walk in that freedom. Does that make sense? And now if you have to go to places like that, I believe in therapy, so I'm not knocking any of that, but I'm just rightly dividing the word of truth to get you to understand you are not what you went through. If you were a drug addict and you've been delivered, you are not a drug addict anymore. You got it? If you went through a divorce, you are not a divorcee. You are a child of the Most High God. You got it? I don't care how many jobs you've lost or how many times, you've been laid off or been fired. If you're not careful, you allow those to define who you are, but you've got to understand that you can go through it and not be it. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. So that's the mirror of failure or the mirror of rejection. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. Thank God for 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me for all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So no matter if you're in the room or you're online and you messed up last night, right here today, you can get a fresh start with God and start moving forward in Jesus. I like to say just admit it and quit it. You got it? Everybody say admit it and quit it. So you got to do both. You can't just admit it and not quit it. You got to do both to really walk in the freedom. Does that make sense? So the mirror of failure and rejection. Here's the next one. The mirror of social pressure. The mirror of social pressure. I am who they say I am. And that's just a flat out lie from the enemy. You are who God says you are. You got it? And so you can't worry, you know, about trying to compete with somebody or trying to compare with someone. I don't try to compete with anybody. I don't try to compare with anyone. You got it? As a pastor, I think there's a lot of amazing pastors out there. I think a lot of them are eloquent in speech. I think a lot of them have amazing ministries. Watch this. There's a lot of big churches out there. You got it? But I don't ever compare myself to where they are, you know, or how I can move based on how they move. I'm just trying to be better than I was yesterday. I'm marching to the beat of my own drum. I know who I am and I know whose I am, and I move forward in that. So the mirror of failure or rejection, the mirror of social pressure, the mirror of inferiority. What is that one? It says, I am not enough. But I already told you that you're more than enough. See, when you receive God, when you receive Jesus, you receive who he is, watch this, in everything that comes with him. You got it? Is he more than enough? Do you have him on the inside of you? Then you are more than enough, right? Is he love? Do you have him on the inside of you? Well, then love abounds on the inside of you. Is he joy? Is he on the inside of you? Then he's your joy. So you've got to understand, sometimes you're looking for something and you're trying to find a way to get joy. So to get joy, I'll go and join this. Or to get joy, I'll go and do that. And I'm not knocking all that. I'm just trying to get you to understand, if the greater one already lives on the inside of you, then joy is on the inside of you. And like Paul said, you got to stir that thing up. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself and say, what is going on with you? Why are you acting like you're so depressed? Don't you remember what the word of God says? Don't you know who you are? No, we're going to get up. We're going to get out of bed. Come on, somebody. We're going to open the blinds. We're going to wash our face. We're going to brush our teeth. We're going to put on our best clothes. Come on. But it's just Saturday, and I'm just going. We don't have a mall. We have a shopping center. I'm just going to the shopping center. It don't matter. I'm putting on my best clothes, and I'm going to go, hey, how y'all doing? It's good to see y'all, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. You got it? And so don't have joy based on how people treat you. Don't have joy based on people's perception of you. Don't have joy based on things that you've gone through. Nobody lit your candle, so therefore they can't blow it out. The joy that you have, the world didn't give it to you. And because the world didn't give it to you, the world can't take it away. That's a good place to clap right there. So the only way to know who you really are is to, watch this, is to go to the one who created you. And start looking in the right mirror. And it's time to start believing the truth about you. James, the first chapter in the 23rd verse, he tries to tell us, like, if you're going to do this, do it. He said, you know, and I love James, because James, he just comes in. He's a guy of faith, but he just, come on, get it together, right? He says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately does what? Forgets what he looks like. When you look into the mirror of the word, and the Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that you are the head and not the tail, you can't walk away and forget what the true mirror says you are. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, all right, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, right? Not forgetting what they've heard, so they remember the word, and they do the word, they will be blessed in what they do. I want to talk to you we're talking about God encounters. And so Moses had a God encounter. Moses had a God encounter. God really called Moses to deliver his people. And if you know anything about Moses, he had issues, but we all had issues. Right? But you know, of course, his mom puts him in a basket, puts tar in it so it'll float down the river. He ends up growing up with the Egyptians, becomes a prince, you know, those kind of things. You know, some crazy things happen. Moses ends up killing a guy. You know, he ends up running. He ends up, the Bible says, 80 years old on a mountain, and he sees a bush. And he sees the bush burning, but it wasn't that the bush was burning that got him. It was what the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. So he goes to see what is going on. Next thing you know, he hears a voice says, take off your shoes because where you are is holy ground, right? And so God starts talking to him and he begins to speak to him about how he wants him to deliver his people. But the problem was Moses had so much stuff internally going on that he answered with his insecurities. So I want to talk to you about that. The only way Moses is going to be able to do what God is asking or calling him to do is to start looking in the right mirror and start getting the right questions answered. And so that's why I said today we're going to answer your questions. Normally, I have how many points? Y'all already know, right? Today, I have four questions. All right, so I'll just switch up on you a little bit because these are the four questions that Moses had that I want to talk about today. And if you can get these questions answered in the room and online and settle these forever, you can move on with the rest of your life, all right? Everybody say number one. Number one, the first question he asked is who am I? But Exodus, the third chapter, and let's pick it up at the 11th verse. But Moses said to God, who am I? Like, did you forget, Lord, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, what class? He says, I will be with you. Notice how Moses asks a question about himself, but God responds by talking about himself. He says, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. In other words, you're not going by yourself. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. So God begins to speak to him. He begins to give him a promise. And so even though he's beginning to say, well, God, who am I? He says, Moses, he says, your perspective is wrong. You're thinking about it the wrong way. It's not just who you are. It's the fact that I am with you. And because I'm with you, you can accomplish anything in life. Right? And so anytime you move out, it's not on your strength, but his strength. It's not on your grace, but his grace. Does that make sense? You know, now Paul, when he's talking to the church at Corinth, he just tells them, he says, by the grace of God, I am who I am. I am what I am. You got it? And by the grace of God, you are who you are. And watch this. And let me add something that God helped me years ago. And watch this. And God makes up the difference in your life. God always makes up the difference in your life. There's times I've been through situations, been through tough times, been through tough seasons, you got it? And anytime you go through a tough season, you know, the enemy, you know, he just starts talking, you got it? And he wants to try to make you feel insecure, make you feel you're no good or you're messed up or it was all your fault, you know, or it didn't work this way because you didn't have enough faith or, you know, just those kind of things. And one thing that God has always told me is, son, I make up the difference. You do your part. And I'll do mine. You do what you can in the natural. Faith meets you at the point of human limitations. So you do everything you can, and then God puts his super on your natural. Amen? And so God makes up the difference in your life. All right? Ask your neighbor, say, do you know who you are? All right? Well, let me just tell you, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You've been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You got it. You are an heir with God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You belong to the King. Galatians 3:29 says, and if ye be Christ, watch this, then ye are Abraham's seed, watch this now, and heirs according to the promise. So the same promise that Abraham received, watch this, because we are Christ and we've been engrafted into the family of God, same thing that belongs to us. Does that make sense? Can I go a little further with it? Hebrews 6, somebody say, go a little further, Pastor. Hebrews 6:13 says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, oh my God, because he could swear by no greater. The Bible said he swore by himself. See, coming up, when we heard the word swear was a bad thing. You understand what I'm saying? And in some instances, we say swear as like a cuss word, like he swore, you know. But when you look at it from a biblical meaning, when it talks about he swore, God made a promise that he was not going back up on. You got it? And he made a promise. And so because he could swear by no greater, people say, I swear on my mama's grave. I understand what they're saying. And nowadays, kids, they have this phrase, on God. I don't know if you ever, I just learned what that meant about a week ago, all right? and so what happens is, the Bible says that when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. saying, surely blessings I will bless thee, and multiplying, I'm going to multiply thee. And so after he had patiently, what class? Endure. You got to go through some things. You got to endure hardship as a good soldier. I don't know why you have to go through the things you have to go through, and what you have to go through is different than the person to the next, to the left of you or to the right of you. And if you're not careful, the enemy will try to make you think it's unfair that they're here and I'm on here. But you got to make all that go away and understand that you are who you are by the grace of God. Does that make any sense? Yeah, and you can't worry about that. And the same promise to Abraham is the same promise to you. And he's told Abraham, he said, Abraham, I know it doesn't look good, but I promise, I swear to you that I'm going to bless you. I know it's a tough season, but I swear to you, everything's going to work out for you good. I know you don't understand right now, but I swear, and I believe the same God is telling you that I promise, I swear to you, you're going to make it. I swear to you, you're going to get on the other side. I swear to you that joy is coming in the morning. I swear to you that no weapon formed to get you is going to prosper. I swear that refreshing is coming and recompense is coming and accelerate if you'll just hold on to my word. If you'll just patiently endure, you're going to see the promise in your life. And so number one, he asked the question and he gets the answer, who am I? And he realized that, watch this, because we're going to go to point in just a second. We're going to go to point number two, and we're going to realize that who he was not as important as who God was. Does that make sense? So he asked the first question, who am I? Now, the next question, everybody say number two. He says, who are you? Well, he asked the right question to the right person. All right, let's see if we can't go down this trail. Let's pick it up in Exodus 3 and 13. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and they say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? He says, then, Lord, you know, what you want me to tell them? You want me to tell them that I saw a bush and the bush was talking to me? They're really going to think I'm crazy, right? And God said to Moses, man, I love this. He says, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. And I can imagine Moses being like, okay, God, if you say so. But this story getting, you know, funnier as the minute goes by. I'm talking to a bush that's burning. Now you want me to go and at least say the God Jehovah. You just want me to say I am who I am? He says, this is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. When you begin to study the word in the Hebrew and translate it, it translates to, well, not many different ways, but a few different ways. But one of them is I am what I am, or I am what I will be. I love Scofield's commentary. I don't know, like I learned about Scofield when I was a kid. I don't even know if anybody knows about Scofield anymore, but I still check him out every once in a while. And Scofield's commentary, I love this, and I couldn't articulate it the way they did, so I just copied and pasted, and I'm going to read what Scofield said, all right? Scofield's commentary says, in this initial self-identification of God, it is significant that the verb is in the first person. The speaker, God, Yahweh, names himself, thus emphasizing his personal identification. It is the announcement of an ever-present God who has come to fulfill his covenant and keep his promise to deliver his people. In other words, God says, I am who I am, or I am who I will. I am Yahweh. I am your deliverer. I am your joy. I am your peace. I am your present help in time of trouble. I am he that hath the key of David, that opened the door and no man shall. Do you know who he is? He says in Isaiah 43, when you go through the deep water, I'm going to be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you're not going to drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you're not going to be burned up by the flames. You're not going to be consumed, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel. So you got to know that anytime you step out, it's not on your ability, but it's on his ability. Does that make sense? He just needs your faith. Yeah, because, and I love you because, you know, oh man, if I had time, God, if I had time for you to understand that whatever God says is so. Like, what's today, y'all? Sunday. I just submit to you, if God was to show up, you understand? I know he's here. He's ever present. You understand? But I'm talking about if the cloud was to fill the room. I'm talking about if the Shekinah glory was to show up today and God was to start speaking. I know it's Sunday, but if God says, as of this moment, it's Monday, let me tell you, whatever God says has got to be so. And if you have the faith to believe that, then the same God that says it is what it is the same God says that you are healed, that you are blessed, that you are redeemed, that you are restored. Hello, some. It is the same God who has already declared you're in from your beginning. So I'm not making light of your situation, but I don't care what you're going through. I know who you are, and I know whose you are. You are a child of the Most High God. So you have to step out in his strength, in his ability, and his anointing. You are not what your daddy or your mama said you were. Come on, somebody. You are not what a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse said you were. No, all those are lies. You are who God said you are. You are the apple of his eye. You are the object of his affection. His favor surrounds you as a shield. You got to know who you are. You are a king's kid. You are dressed in royalty. Come on, somebody. So that's why the Bible says, arise from your state of depression and prostration where situations have called you to be. He says, rise to a new life. That's not KJV. That's Message Translation. KJV says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is real. When the glory of the Lord shows up, when the anointing of God shows up, it changes everything. Come on, somebody. Isn't that right? Yeah. So something's going crazy at the job, man, just get to a place where you can just start praying, right? And start praying in the spirit just for a few minutes. If you got to go and just get in your car on break and say, Father, I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. I curse confusion on my job at the authority of the name. Hello, somebody. You don't have to quit your job and go to another job. Because you are a carrier of the anointing, you can change any environment that you get in. Even if God got to, watch this, got to move somebody, you ain't got to be the one that's always got to be moving. God can move them and elevate you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So you gotta catch that. You gotta catch that. All right. 1:30. Did y'all give me all my time? I know they did. They did. All right. Let's rehearse in the back. All right, class. What is number one? All right. What's number two? All right. Let's quickly, because I got to move quickly. Number three. The next question that he says is, "What if they?" So it's amazing how our mind thinks. Because I finally got me figured out. I finally got God figured out, and you would think that'd be enough. But Pastor, they said, you know, I'll be real honest with you. We all got issues, right? I'm the first one to tell you, I know I got issues. That's why I thank you for loving me through my issues. I know I'm not perfect. I know I can make mistakes. You got it. But because I love you and I look through your issues, you love me and you look through my issues. It's a covenant. It's a relationship that we have, right? It's a partnership, right? Yeah. And you know, one of my issues is when people come to me and say, well, Pastor, they said, I don't like that. Because who is they? Come on, somebody. Unless you can come to me with some names, come on, somebody, and I can see their ID. I might want their social security number. You understand what I'm saying? I don't like what they said this, and I don't care about they. And you got to learn how to get delivered from they. If you don't do anything else, learn how to get delivered from people. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter about their perception of you. It doesn't matter about anything. All that matters is you got number one and number two straight. I know who I am, and I know who God is, and that's all I need to move forward in my life. Does that make sense? Just look at somebody and say, this young man is teaching. He's really teaching up in here. So Exodus 4:1, he says, but what if they don't believe me? And too many times we won't step out on faith because of what they said. We can never live our lives based on how they feel or what they perceive or what they went through or their perspective on something. You got it? And so you know what, you know, if I was God, and I'm not, you got it, but I was answering Moses, you know, because God answered in number one, and he spoke of himself. And then in number two, he maximized it and says, I am who I am, and I am what I will be. So whatever I will be is always going to be enough in your life. And so when he said to God, what if they, if I was God, I'd have said, refer back to number two. So in case of emergency, refer back to number two. He says, I am that I am. You got it. I'm the God that's leading you. We got to go home court. I'm the God that's guiding you. I'm the God that's strengthening you. I'm the God that's comforting you. I'm the God that's pushing you. Watch this. Watch this. You got to catch this. You got to catch this. And I'm the God who's one of the only ones who's always been with you and never left and never changed my mind about you. So why are you falling out about somebody who walks away? Why are you falling out about somebody who's lying on you? Why are you falling? And I know I've been through it before. I had to grow in that. So I'm not knocking you if you're there. But you got to get to a point where you're delivered from they. And you know who you are. And so I know I am who I am by the grace of God. Man, in the early days, people always come to me, always ask me a question about the church. And why didn't you do it this way? And why didn't you do it this way? And not understanding, I'm giving you my very best. I'm not perfect, but I'm integral. Come on, somebody. I'm not perfect, but I'm a man of prayer. I'm not perfect, but I'm anointed. And you would think that that would be enough. But for some people, it's not. But it's okay. It's okay. Love them anyways. Forgive them anyways. But just get delivered from they. Does that make sense? So they is really not a factor in your life. All right, let's rehearse. We got to pray. All right, number one, let's put number one up. Okay, what's number one class? All right, what is number two class? All right, number three. All right, and this last one we'll close. Number four, what if I can't? And God says you can. Philippians 4 and 13 says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthened you. Philippians 4, 13 in the Amplified Classic says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Christ, through him, or Christ, who infuses inner strength into me. You got to catch this last part. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. So that's who you are. And you can do anything through Christ who strengthens you. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I know a few people have to move, and so we allow them to move at this time. But if everyone else could just please stay seated. And the first thing I want you to do, because I really believe in this, is I want you to talk to God. Ask him, just say, Lord, what are you saying to me in this lesson? And I believe that God will speak to you about whatever it is that he's saying to you. I talked about so many things. But one thing I know is that if you can get these questions answered and move on from these questions, it'll absolutely change your life. It'll change how you live. It'll change how you live by faith. It'll change how you walk and how you talk. It'll change everything. It builds confidence up in you because now you realize that it's not you on your own strength, but it's God right there with you every step of the way, leading you and guiding you and helping you. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all online. So when I say under the sound of my voice, that's if you're in the room or online. And if you're under the sound of my voice and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9, if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. The word repent is not a hard word. It's a very easy word. It means I was going in the wrong directions, doing the wrong things, and even had a conviction. Sometimes there'll be like this conviction. Let me give you another word. When God convicts you, he's just trying to convince you that what you're doing is not the right way. And he wants you to make a U-turn or repent and start heading in the right direction and doing things the right way. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you're a Christian in the room and you need to repent. We're going to take care of all that. My last and final one is maybe you're looking for a good church in this room or online. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. I believe the type of life you live is based on the type of church you go to. The Bible is clear. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord are the ones that flourish. And so this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Of course, we talked about the connection cards earlier. And of course, if you're a first-time friend, you need to use them. But listen, if you're going to get saved, I need you to use that connection card. If you're going to rededicate your life to God, I need you to use that connection card. If you're going to join this amazing church, I need you to use that connection card in this room and online. So let's seal the deal and let's make this prayer. Father, we come to you in the magnificent name of Christ Jesus. And I thank you for the prayer that we are about to make that will seal the deal in the lives of every person that prays it in Jesus' name. I want everyone in the room and online to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise all over the room?